Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks to Manly Bands for supporting the Morning Stream. Manly Bands helps men find wedding bands that fit their personality and their budget with unique and stylish designs. To get 21% off your Manly Band or an upgrade, go to manlybands.com/TMS. Coming up on TMS PM, the point is that the funny thing is
COVID testacular.
Don't dox the doc.
Books, they're podcasts for your eyes.
F tweak.
Yelly phone rant.
It really is funny this time.
25 point impact text having horse pills.
It's nothing to puke over.
Free sample?
Making big things seem small.
Read this with Amy and more on this episode of TMS PM.
This is the Morning Stream, but it's not in the morning, it's at night.
TMS PM.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMS. It's a PM edition for everyone, not just patrons today. Everyone gets it because this week was so effed that we felt like we had to do a little extra something, and I'm happy to do it. But
that's right, between COVID tests and doctor visits and all that stuff. Yeah.
Oh, you want to know the worst thing about that COVID test? So here's the deal. Let me give a quick update.
Sure.
I'm on antibiotics now. Started them yesterday. Third pill this morning. I'll take another one tonight. It's 10 days worth. It's a sinus infection, all confirmed. Everything I thought it was, it is. Haven't had one of these in 15 years, so it's been a while, but there it is. And it's got nothing to do with COVID. The COVID test came back negative.
Of course.
All that's fine. And we talked about it on the show, I guess. But here's the problem. And I'm still a little bit annoyed by it. Part of the deal this week was if I needed to get an appointment with my doctor, they needed me to get a test confirmed one way or the other first, right? I had to have COVID test before I went in there. And some have said, well, my doctor's does COVID in the... I know. I understand. Everybody's different. Okay, I get it. But this office didn't, so they wanted me to get an outside one. So I did.
Yeah, my GP doesn't either. I can't get a COVID test at my doctor's office for whatever reason.
I don't think it's as common as some people are suggesting. I think you and I are more normal than they are. But but anyway, so I get the test. It comes back negative. That was a whole ordeal. We've talked about that, right? The whole running back and forth, forgot my license. Then they did the thing, had to do it myself, nearly blacked out from the pain. Waited way too long for the results. They took more than their 24 hours, they told me. Finally got it negative. Great. Now's the time you make the appointment with the doctor. So I call the doctor's office. I say, hey, I was told that I had to get this test first. I'm in tons of pain here, but I did what you said first. And I got the test. It came back negative. I need an appointment. Oh, we've got one that opened up at 8 a.m. tomorrow. Do you want to come in for that? Or 9 a.m. tomorrow, 9:30, whatever it was. I said, yeah, that'd be great. I'm going to have to shuffle some things around, but I'll be there. Because I don't want to delay it, right? I want to get this done. Let's get this over with.
Exactly.
So I go in, I cancel the show. As you guys know, there was no show as a result. I went into the doctor's office, I sit down, and Dr. V, I call her. I don't want to say her real name. I don't want to violate her HIPAA. Just kidding.
Anyway. You don't want to dox the doctor.
Well, so I get there, and there's a pregnant lady who does all my vitals. Not that it matters that she's pregnant. That was just a notable thing. She's very pregnant.
Is she always pregnant?
I don't know if always, but she was at least 8 months pregnant.
When they eventually have their baby, do they get fired and a new pregnant lady is hired to take her place?
Yeah, they swap her in, and now the new pregnant lady takes your blood pressure. But
Excellent. The good
news is my blood pressure was great. I lost weight and didn't know it.
Good
stuff all around just for that initial checkup stuff. And then she says, all right, describe your symptoms. I told her everything. She leaves, and I'm waiting for the doctor. It's starting to go really long. And I'm on my phone trying to entertain myself. And I'm like, boy, I'm glad I canceled TMS because there's no way this ends before, you know, it's going way too
if
long.
It was, like, originally it was going to be an 8 o'clock appointment. You're like, I'll totally be back in time totally for TMS. And I'm like, yeah, okay.
And it's a good thing I didn't, because had it been then, we'd have canceled even more last minute than I did, because they went so freaking long before I saw the doctor. She finally comes in and she goes, I'm really sorry. And this is all fine, but this is the weirdest thing. And maybe Dr. Jerry Tolbert can confirm that this maybe happens or something, but they got trolled, I guess. Here's what happened. Somebody had an appointment for 8 a.m. or 9:30. Sorry, I keep screwing the time up because I changed it. They had an appointment for the time that I had it. That's why I got it, because they canceled it. So I'm using that slot. Well, it turns out that person came in when I did, and I saw them as I was in the waiting room. And I went, I thought I was the only one. Well, anyway, they're there for their normal appointment, and they had never canceled it. At least that's what they said. So they're all confused, trying to figure out what's going on. So they call the number back of the number they supposedly used for the cancellation. And when that person picked up and knew it was the doctor's office, they went off on this like yelly phone rant about how masks do nothing and we're all tools of the government and this and that and COVID is fake and this crazy like troll anti-COVID or anti-vax thing. Just freaking out on the phone to these guys. And they were just like, what? How did they cancel this other person's appointment? So there's all kinds of questions, right? Like, why? But that's what took him so long. So they literally had to do her appointment, then me. So I basically sat there for two people's appointments worth of time. The second half was mine. It's fine because we cleared the show. Fine.
Sure.
Here's the other part that bugs me.
It's funny because you're experiencing, and I say it's funny. I know I'm still saying that. I'm trying not to say it.
Yeah.
But this is funny, coincidental funny, that you're experiencing the same thing our hospitals are. Because there are anti-vaxxers in there taking up all the beds, it's hurting the people who come in for other reasons. And you just experienced that in the doctor's waiting room. In the office.
It was almost worse because this is like a person who literally, it's like one of those people who just gets up and goes, don't repeat, like the middle of a concert or something, like someone's got a point to make. It's like, go make it somewhere else. Do it something
like
else.
Michael Stipe.
Yeah kind of like that.
Just kidding.
So just effed everything up. Now here's what made it a little bit worse, and then everything got better.
Okay.
She says, or at one point, like, I don't know, I'm there 2 hours total, and maybe in the hour and a half point where I'm talking to her, it occurs to me, no one has asked about my COVID test. No one has
said no kidding.
And I thought, now hold on.
They didn't. Wait. Did they ask when you made the appointment?
No, because they did when I first tried to schedule one the other day. And they said, no, we need you to get the test first. And I said, okay, I'll do that. This one, I didn't mention it. I just said, hey, I need to get in there for whatever. And I don't know if they just forgot or if they... You know what it might be? So now the COVID test is part of your universal healthcare profile thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so it'll they show probably up. Were able to look it up.
Yeah, so that's probably what happened. But I was still a little annoyed that they were like, do not enter without COVID test. And then when I got there, they're like, yeah, get in here. Let's take it. You know, like, I feel like they should at least acknowledge it since it was such a pain in my ass.
Yeah.
Ugh. I mean, I'm mainly just being a baby about it. But at the end of the day, yesterday, it was great. She got me what I needed. She warned me against Flonase, told me to try a different kind because Flonase is, you know, it'll come back with a vengeance sometimes. You don't want to do that. Do it, you know, sparingly if you're going to do it or whatever. I said, hey, how about them neti pots? How about those? I've been told those have been around for 1,000 years. And she says, oh, I wouldn't do those. I said, really? She goes, yeah, instead you get the kind that look like a big nipple on the top. And then you fill it full of the saline stuff.
Oh, yeah, and you squeeze.
And you squeeze it through, yeah.
Yeah.
She says, those are the best because you get more pressure.
Oh.
And it gets more out of there, is her thing.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So anyway,
I think that's what Tina uses. Tina uses one of those. She still says, you should go use your neti pot. Like, well, you know, you're already using something better. Oh, I guess I didn't do her voice today. Brian, you should go use your neti pot.
Oh, man. You almost brought unbalance to the force, but you swung
it did. I know. By doing a different Tina voice accidentally.
Yeah. Whew. We dodged a bullet, everybody. but anyways, the point is, and there's me saying the point is, I'm trying to not do that anymore. I got things like that too. You know, I'm trying to cut down on.
Yeah, we need to police each other. You police me on the funny thing is, and I'll police you on the point is.
The point is, we need to call each other out. Have an animated GIF pop up automatically every time it happens. Yeah. Anyway, so at the end of the day, I'm taking these stupid giant horse pills. They're huge.
Yeah. Really?
They're so big. They got like, I don't know, 25-point type on them. They're so big. Just huge pills. But they're supposed to be kind of standard. Right. They're supposed to be standard. They're not bothering me. I'm not having any issues with them or, you know, any kind of sensitivities. And should be good in a couple days, you know. It's good. A 10-day run, but, you know, she says within two, three days with a bad sinus infection, you should be seeing, you know, light of day. And I said, all right, thanks. And I did sleep pretty good last night. I couldn't really breathe very well, but I slept better.
Good.
I was all, my paranoia, Brian, was that I was going to wake up yesterday, get ready for that appointment, and go, I feel better today. And if this is leaving me now, and I, after all of this.
Right. It's, yeah, exactly. Now it's on its way out, and you've, you know, expended all this energy and time. And
it's so irritated, but it wasn't. It got worse, so it was fine, I guess. Anyway, the DJ Stangle, I'm not kidding. I wish I had them here. They're huge pills. They're like, maybe they just generics are bigger or something. Let me see if I have a comparison. It's almost the size of this end of this cable dongle.
Wow.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, it's like really? A great big, not that like not that
length,
wide,
but not the length, but not the width.
That yes, the length and then the width is about the same as the length, but they're that big.
Yeah, okay.
If you pictured that square, like half of that wide, that's how big it'd be.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's a big pill. I'm a 6 foot three guy. I make big things seem small. If you know what I'm saying.
All right. I do.
Anyway.
Hey, Scott, I got to tell you, man, I lost the game.
Uh-oh.
The game we were all playing.
Oh, no!
Yeah, yeah. So Monday night, and people are like, what game? Well, I get to that, people. Monday night, Tina and Tristan and I went to this thing called Christmas in Color. And I'm sure there are these everywhere, right? Because there's already two in Colorado that look, or in the Denver metro area, that already look the same. But it's basically a way of seeing Christmas lights, but still maintaining social distancing. You're kind of experiencing the thing that you would normally do as like a group and go to some sort of like event to look at it. But you're self-contained. You're basically in a car, in your own car, driving through a little path that's made on an open area thing. Like in this case, it happens to be a parking lot at Bandimere Speedway, the local racetrack.
Oh, those are good parking lots. Big parking lots.
Huge parking lot. Yeah.
If there's one thing, if there's one thing race fans like, it's cars of their own. They really are big fans. Yeah.
That's right.
They love that stuff. Yeah.
They do. So it's like this whole big area mapped out. And then you're going through tunnels and through, quote unquote, weeds and quote unquote, like, or, you know, or snowmen or things like that. All lit up, all synchronized with an FM track that's constantly playing. So this constant FM, playlist is going on, and it's all synchronized with these lights. So as you go through this tunnel, the lights are spinning, and it looks like the tunnel is spinning around you. You turn off your headlights, you turn off your daytime running lights, all that stuff, and just drive very, very slowly as the person in front of you through this thing. And it's playing All I Want for Christmas Is You by Mariah Carey, the little drummer boy, the chipmunks. And what's cool is they've got the snowman and the Santa Claus have little LED mouths, and they sing along or talk along with the songs. Do you want to build a snowman, etc., etc. If anyone's planning on going to one of these, check Groupon, because you can save about $20. And the four of us in one car, we paid about $20 to do it, or 18, I think.
Not bad.
It's
good.
No, it's totally, you know what? I was thinking, oh, this is going to be lame. The kids wanted to do it.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, it's going to be kind of lame. I actually really got a kick out of it. And they did an amazing job with the parts of it that you drive through where the lights are almost acting in like a 3D kind of effect on your car. And it's kind of cool.
Mm. That sounds good. We have a thing here called, is it the Parade of, shit, I forget, some kind of something of lights. And it's a similar thing. You're in your car. It's mm-hmm. a bunch of old farm space. The point of the mountain, and you drive through this thing. It's super pretty and all that. I haven't done any of that this year. I really probably ought to do some
of that. It was actually, you know, like I said, I was thinking it was going to be really lame. It was totally worth it with the Groupon. If I paid the $40 per car, I don't know if I would have thought it was as worth it. But for the four of us, $20, totally agree. We went and got dinner afterwards. Went back to that Golden Mill dining hall, which was excellent. Really, really good.
Nice. Very nice. And these dining halls are everywhere there for you. You guys got tons of
them. They are. There's like, they are springing up like crazy around me. Mm-hmm. There are.
Must be succeeding.
Four within a 15-minute drive of where I'm at, or 20-minute drive.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. Yeah. Yeah. And they're great. It's, you know, much better food than you get with the Orange Julius Sbarro food court.
Although that sounds all right to me right now, but that might be the current talk.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That said, while I was driving through, sure enough, Last Christmas, the Wham version played.
Oh no.
And I lost. I'm out of the contest, Jerry. Yeah. Whamageddon is over.
Brian walked in like Kramer and slammed his money on the table and said, I'm out.
I said, I'm out of the contest.
Oh, man.
I'm no longer the master of my domain.
So yesterday when Kim and I were driving somewhere, she says, I'm flipping around channels and there was a Christmas channel. I go, you usually have this on this time of year. Why are you not playing me Christmas music? She goes, we're trying to win the contest, dear.
Like, this is perfect for you because you love the streak games. This is a streak game. Yeah, how many days game. In a row can you go?
I love a streak, dude. For real.
Yeah.
I just broke. Totally my, I just lost my sinus infection streak. It was 15 years. I haven't puked in 15. It was almost the same time, the same year actually.
I could have sworn you've had another sinus infection since we've done the show.
No, I've been sick, but never a full on infection. I did have bronchitis. Okay. Technically, that was 2013. So I have a streak with bronchitis. I haven't had it since
technically 2013. It was 2013. How about non-technically, was it another year?
Well, and then the first time I got strep and only time I've had strep was 2016.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm all doing right. All right. You know, got a
doing
got
all right.
Good
yeah.
Run.
So no sinus infection. Okay. All
yeah.
Right.
So I'm going to see how much longer I can go. I still haven't puked. Do you think I'm going to puke this year, chat room? I don't know. I don't think so.
Oh, God, no. You're not going to puke this year.
I got nothing to puke over.
Exactly.
I'm good. We're trying to avoid people anyway, so I'm not going to get somebody's disease.
We'll tackle that in Vegas. Yeah.
Everybody's going to try to make me puke in Vegas now. Damn it.
It's now Who needs a challenge coin? We have a new challenge. It's make Scott puke.
Great. Can't freaking wait. All right. We're going to do something fun. You ready for this?
Yeah. I'm excited about this.
I am too. We got something we haven't told anyone else about. And normally it's going to be on Thursdays, so it's a little weird today because we're kind of off a day, but... Let me play a little music and see what you guys think. Here you go. That sound means only one thing. It's time for a brand new segment called Readamentals. Until we find a better name. I don't know. Maybe it's okay. Maybe it'll work. But join us on the line, if you will. Red Fraggle, a.k.a. Amy, joining us as she will each and every Thursday moving forward. Hi, Amy. How are you? Oh, I don't hear
it. Oh, no. Well, there we go. All right, off to...
I didn't test any audio ahead of time. I probably should have done that.
Shouldn't this be pronounced Redimentals? Because, A, she's Red Fraggle.
Oh, that's not bad. And then you could still do R-E-A-D.
Uh-huh. Yeah, to keep it pronounced the same, but Redimentals.
Okay, I'm in. She's doing some muting, some unmuting. I can see it.
Okay, all right, good.
Yeah, and still nothing. Don't hear anything. Checking. No. Amy, there. No. I mean, I always usually check these things before. I just didn't do it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we thought she was professional, I guess.
Bookerides?
Bookerides.
I don't know if that one rings as well. Hi, Amy, there? I see her mic muting and unmuting, but I don't hear. All right, here's what we'll do. I'll pause for a second. The show will pause.
A room mic, but we'll take it.
Yeah, we'll take it no matter how we get you. It's fine.
I am on my roommate. I'm so mad. So I set everything up. I had my old voiceover mic and its little house that I put it in to keep, you know, room noise out. I had my cans on and everything, and I tested it out. Yeah. And I don't freaking know what happen.
Well, you know what's good? This is what's good for
your
heart.
So now I'm on my iPad, and this is what we get. So
this is what you're good. This is what's good for your heart is to have that happen in real time, and then and then know the kind of scramble you just went through. That is a real bummer. I apologize. Well, we could have worked it out before.
We'll all lay on our side so we can look at our video. Oh, there it goes.
Yeah. I'd blame it on your producer, which in this case is me, and I didn't test anything beforehand. So don't feel bad.
I plugged into Discord and everything, and I did the whole, you know, go to the settings and make sure, okay, yeah, I can hear my own voice coming back. And mm-hmm. I called my husband on Discord and said, hey, you can.
Yeah.
Yep. No, but I don't know, whatever.
Discord and new ideas. But that's okay. Well, you know, having you on an iPad's better than not having you at all. So we're glad to have
exactly.
you.
Exactly. That's what I figured. I was like, okay, this is right here. I'll just pop off and then pop back on.
Well, to give us an idea of the kind of reader you are before we give any recommendations, because I think that'd be interesting to people. You're obviously a big reader, but like, I don't know, what do you enjoy? What's the genres you end up spending most of your time in?
Oh, well, that's a great question. So I read a lot of things like speculative fiction, science fiction, and fantasy things. But I also do a lot of nonfiction, particularly if it's funny. I read a lot of things like the bloggers and stuff like that. But I'll save some of that because I have a whole list for this segment. So I don't want to spoil too much. But
sure.
Yeah, cool. I mean, I read lots of stuff, and I actually end up recommending a lot of books to my husband that like a lot of people haven't read before, and he's like, I've never heard of this book. And I'm like, oh, you gotta read it, it's great. So you know, just random stuff that a lot of people maybe haven't heard of. But today is gonna be a little more mainstream than that. People are probably gonna be like, oh, I tuned in to hear this recommended, I've read it five times. But I thought it was probably timely because it's a good recommendation for the holidays is Terry Pratchett's Hogfather.
Terry Pratchett, I never read. I feel like an idiot because I've never read a Discworld book. I haven't read any of his anything, and everyone says you're an idiot. You should be reading Terry Pratchett. What's wrong with you? So I'm really glad to hear this. Okay, sorry.
I've even gotten recommendations from people saying, if you haven't read any Ringworld, here's where you start. And I still haven't done it.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, so it's funny. I'll actually I'll see if I can send Scott this image that I have. There is a recommended reading order for Discworld, because a lot of people have that same problem that you were having there, Scott, where it's like, my husband included, you know, a lot of people are really intimidated because Terry Pratchett was so prolific. I mean, there are 41 novels in Discworld. Like, it's a lot.
It is.
Yeah. And it can be very intimidating. And my husband had read, I think, the first novel in the series, which is called The Color of Magic, and hated it, did not like it at all. Mm. And so when he and I started dating, and he asked me, like, you know, what kind of stuff do you like to read? And I said, oh, I love Terry Pratchett. And he was like, really? As I don't. And I said, no, don't read The Color of Magic. It's garbage. Because even Sir Terry Pratchett, when he was alive, recommended starting with the third book in the series, which is called Sorcery. I think those first two books in the Discworld series, which are The Color of Magic and The Light Fantastic, they're kind of like the early Simpsons episodes.
It's like season one. It's like a bad pilot, and the first three episodes of any season of anything are kind of garbage in retrospect. That sounds like that's what this
is. Yeah, yeah. And it's like, you know, it's kind of like in those early Simpsons episodes, you know, they're very Bart-centric, right? Mm-hmm. And that was before they had figured out that Homer was the money man, right? Yeah. Like, Homer was where all the good stuff was.
Yeah.
They hadn't figured that out yet. And so same with Terry Pratchett. He hadn't figured out that Death was actually the protagonist and shouldn't be the villain. And and he's a much more interesting character than, you know, Rincewind, who is the main character of those first couple of novels.
Oh my gosh, so, there's so many of these. I just was looking on Goodreads. Are there really 83 that are either straight up Discworld novels or connected to Discworld, like folklore backup novels and stuff like that? That is a lot. That's a lot.
Oh yeah.
That is a lot.
There are short stories, there's illustrated novels, there are little kids books, actually. There's one little kids book called Where's My Cow, which is hilarious. I actually got it for my son when he was a baby, and, you know, I used to read it out loud to him, and it kind of goes along with a full novel, because one of the characters reads that same book to his son every night. And then, like, when he's in a situation where he can't get home in time to read it to him, he starts sort of reciting it and going a little bit crazy. It's really fun.
How meta.
It is. It's really fun. But yeah, there is a ton. And that's what's great is if you get into some of the Terry Pratchett stuff, even though sadly he has passed on, there's plenty. There is tons of stuff that you can get into and enjoy. And yeah, there is a little bit of a reading order to it. And there's some stuff that it builds on itself plot wise, but you really don't have to get hung up on reading it in order. It you can jump in pretty much wherever, and he's going to set the stage for you. He does a wonderful job of building the world. Yeah. And it's a really, Discworld is a really great place to escape into.
Hey, you guys, is there a cooler gift than a really great band on your finger? I say to you, nay, there is no cooler gift. I freaking love a good ring. Manly Bands helps men like me and many of you find wedding bands that fit their personality, their budget, and they do it all with unique and stylish designs. Can confirm wearing mine right now. You start the process with Manly Bands by getting their Manly Ring Sizer to ensure that it will fit you perfectly during work and play. Very simple app approach. I really like that. Once you know your size, then comes the fun. And you get to choose from their wide selection of materials like gold, wood, steel, antler, even dinosaur bone. How cool is that? You can also choose from one of their many Manly Bands curated collections, such as the Jack Daniel's Whiskey Barrel Collection. I know people who would love that for Christmas. Once you're selected or have selected your band, you get free shipping worldwide, a 30-day exchange policy, and a free warranty. I love mine. It's beautiful. And I went with like this cool tungsten thing. It just makes me seem cooler than I am. The color, the material, the quality, the customization was all really simple and fast. I really like it. You're going to like yours too, or that significant other in your life will as well. So, to get 21% off your Manly Band or an upgrade, go to manlybands.com/TMS or use promo code TMS at checkout. That's manlybands, BANDS.com/TMS or promo code TMS for 21%. Off your first Manly Band or an upgrade. You really ought to go do this. I'm not just saying that. I'm wearing it. One of my least favorite things in the world are, you know, top 10 or top 50 lists, because generally speaking, you can't, it's only going to work for whoever agrees with that list, and everyone's got different opinions. But according to the data on Goodreads, which is positive reviews versus negative reviews, Terry Pratchett's Night Watch, which is Discworld book 29. It's tied actually with City Watch number 6. So they're claiming book 29 and book 6 are the best books to get. And then they go down from there. You wouldn't recommend reading it in that order, right? That'd be weird, because they don't stand alone in that way, or do they?
Yeah, I mean, so Night Watch is by far one of the best books in the entire series, for sure. But I think you would, there's a lot you'd be missing. There's a lot of background on some of the guards' characters that you wouldn't necessarily get. You wouldn't understand why Sam Vimes, who is the protagonist of Night Watch, you wouldn't necessarily get why he's motivated to do things the way he is if you haven't read the rest of the guards novels. So, I'll see if I can send you this. There's this great little Discworld reading order guide. And so maybe we can share it in the chat. But I'll send you that, because it is actually really good, because it breaks down. Discworld is a whole bunch of worlds all in one. So there are the series of witches, there's all the books about death, and death is a great character. Death is like if Data were also the Grim Reaper.
Okay.
You know, like he's like fascinated with humans and what makes humans humans, and almost to an unhealthy degree, because he's then also responsible for, you know, reaping their souls when they die. Sure. And so it's really entertaining. And if you've read Good Omens, it's a very similar character to Death in Good Omens.
Okay. Yeah, and I have read that and seen obviously the show. And that was a collaboration between him and Neil Gaiman.
Yeah.
Right. And I always wondered how much, because that's the only Pratchett I've been exposed to. So I wondered how much of that was him or how much of that was Gaiman. In tone and stuff, these Discworld game or games. I keep saying games. These Discworld
books. You really want a video game, don't you?
Yeah, I really do. Are there any Discworld games? Or probably.
Man, not. I would love for there to be. That would be awesome.
I've heard people talk about that forever. Like an MMO. Somebody should make an MMO based on Discworld, which could be really cool. But anyway, would you say it's closer? Like, what's his style? Is it closer to like Douglas Adams, or is it closer to I don't know. I can't think of another
contemporary. Neil Gaiman.
Yeah, let's say that.
Yeah.
So you got Neil Gaiman here, and you got Douglas Adams. Douglas Adams is all about irony, humor, satire. I mean, it's story and characters, but he's also teaching us something. It's philosophical in all those ways. And in my head, I put Terry Pratchett in that category. But am I wrong to do that?
No, I think you're spot on there. Like, I think it is hard for me because I read also a lot of Neil Gaiman, and I try every time I read Good Omens, which is kind of an embarrassing number of times. I find myself trying really hard to pick out which is which, like who wrote which part, and I can't ever tell. They did, and apparently they did so much the way that they wrote Good Omens, they did so much back and forth that it really all got very jumbled up in the end anyway.
Yeah.
So because they wrote that when they were just two dudes messing around writing a book. You know, they weren't Neil Gaiman and Terry Pratchett
right.
yet. So they were yeah, exactly. I would say that it's he's Terry Pratchett's tone and whatnot, it does lean a little more towards the Douglas Adams side. It's all he's got very tongue in cheek, kind of dry British humor. Mm-hmm. And there is kind of a philosophy involved. Like for instance, Hogfather, which is the one that I was recommending for today. It's sort of Discworld's takedown of Christmas. Because everything has an analog in Discworld. It's not none of the stuff is actually the same, but there's always an analog for it.
Sure.
In Discworld they have Hog's Watch instead of Christmas, and so kids leave out their stockings and like the Hogfather, who's literally like a giant pig in a Santa suit, comes in and leaves them pork pies, you know, in their stockings and
nice,
you know, and also clothes and our toys.
Is it bad I feel like I may prefer his version? It sounds all right.
I know, right? It's great. And well, and instead of milk and cookies, like I think you leave out a snifter of brandy for the Hogfather. I don't know if I'm remembering that correctly or not. Nice. But
that's great.
Yeah, so the Hogfather talks a lot about like the structure of and the importance of belief and like kind of the power of belief and how what you believe frames your reality. And so on Discworld, whatever you believe is real. Mm. So children who believe that there is a boogeyman under their bed, there is a boogeyman under their bed.
Mm.
And then when we grow up, you know, we have to believe in the little things when we're little so that when we grow up, we can believe in big things that don't really exist, like justice.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So Wayne, would you qualify this as science fiction, qualify it as fantasy, some kind of cross in between?
Fantasy. Okay. Definitely. It's definitely fantasy. Right. Because there's magic and there's, in Discworld there are witches and wizards and in fact wizards show up a bunch in Hogfather, and the wizards are really funny. They're really goofy, kind of bumbling characters. But yeah, it's it's great. And, you know, the like tooth fairies are flying around and things like that. But the tooth fairies are more like the postal service. Like there's not one tooth fairy. There's like a whole tooth fairy enterprise.
Yeah. Are they also all screwed up and everything's late right now? Or are they doing better?
Well, that's I don't want to give too much away, but yeah, the tooth fairy.
Oh, interesting.
play a pivotal role. Yes. So there's a shortage of tooth fairies.
Yeah. Oh, there is a Discworld video game. Let's see. Discworld: The Trouble with Dragons, graphic adventure. So these were text based. Oh no, this is graphic. So it's more like a point and click thing. This came out in
like King's Quest kind of thing.
Yeah,
maybe?
Yeah. I think kind of like that. Like the
LucasArts.
Yeah, good comparison. Let's see. I'm trying to find a date. So it's older. I just think maybe now's the time to approach that work with, you know, modern ideas in mind. I think they could really make something. And totally. I know so little about it. I just know that it's beloved by the fans. People, you know, freak out about it. But it's pretty crazy to hear people say, don't read the first book of a famous series.
You yeah. know? Right.
Oh, yeah, definitely. No, I mean, like I say, even the author says, just skip it. Like, the Color of Magic and the Light Fantastic. Bleh, don't even bother.
Why is that, do you think? He just felt like he wasn't quite the writer he would be? Or what was the problem?
Well, okay. So I can tell you my opinion, because I read them both. And my opinion on it is they still both had kind of like that Terry Pratchett quality to them where there was the humor coming out, but I think he was laying it on a little too thick, and none of the characters, you didn't really like any of the characters. Those first two books had what, back in the late 90s, early 2000s, remember how indie movies were trying to be really, really realistic to the point where by the end of the movie, you hated everybody in the movie?
Kind of, yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't. Yeah.
And there was literally nobody to like in a movie. And so I used to call that indie movie disease. And those first two Discworld novels kind of, for me, kind of suffer from indie movie disease. Like, I just don't like anybody in them. And, you know, Rincewind is this wizard who's even more of a bungling idiot than the rest of the wizards in Discworld. And but he can't cast any spells because he, like, this big giant spell that takes up his whole brain got stuck in his brain. And but every time he almost dies, the spell almost comes out and says itself, and he escapes from death. So he pisses death off a lot.
That sounds like fun. I think this sounds like a great time. I know somebody in the chat posted something about this, and I looked it up on IMDb. There is a Hogfather TV movie that came out in 2006. I think it was a BBC thing.
It's available on Amazon Prime, and it's actually really good. I've seen a couple of other Terry Pratchett adaptations that weren't so great, but it is really, really true to the source material. And it's a really good watch, and it's, you know, like I say, it's fun because it's all very holiday centric.
It's got a great cast: Michelle Dockery, David Warner. It's got 7.5 on IMDb. I mean, that's pretty good. I don't know. I'm sick of this crap Kim's watching. Maybe I'll watch this.
I was actually going to suggest that, you know, that is a holiday thing that you would enjoy, that you could totally get Kim to watch, and it would be fun because it is holiday centric. It's got all the holly and jolly and other things that rhyme with Ollie. And, you know.
Nice. I'm into it. I'm trying to see where it's available. Cool. Tubi, Acorn, Pluto, IMDb TV.
Said, Amazon Prime.
Oh, Prime has
Amazon
it?
Prime,
oh, you said Prime. Okay, cool. Oh, they don't show it on the... Just Watch doesn't have it on Prime, weirdly.
But weird.
They could be wrong. They're wrong sometimes. I've noticed. I've had a few where it's like, wait, you said Alien 3 was here, and then it is there, but it's not on there.
And you know, and you were saying the first, The Color of Magic, you can skip. What about, did you see The Color of Magic 2008 film with Tim Curry and Sean Astin?
What?
I did. And
I guess it was a series. Okay.
Sean Astin is such a weird choice for that character because he's supposed to be, all right. That's another problem with those first couple of stories is it's a little racist. Like,
great.
Like the character that Sean Astin is playing is this guy named Two Flower, and he's supposed to be like a stereotypical Asian tourist. Like, that's the way he's written in the story, is like he's got a giant what Discworld passes for a camera. Like, cameras don't exist in Discworld, but, like, you know, it's a it's a box with an imp in it who comes out and paints a picture, you know, that kind of thing. And and he's, you know, he wears loud Hawaiian shirts, and he's, you know, so Sean Astin was a weird casting choice for that. I think maybe they were trying to lean away from the fact that it was supposed to be a takedown of that stereotype. And, but I don't know. That one didn't work for me. Because I mean, you would think it would, because it didn't stick very closely to the source material. It was a lot of stuff where I was like, that didn't happen in the book. Which you would think would make it better, but.
Depends on which direction they go. Like, let's see if we can make something that's worse than the first couple bucks.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
But you don't think it's a problem. You start with three and you're good. You don't need to do anything else, right?
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. And I sent you, and I don't know if you can see in the Discord, there's this reading order. It looks like a, you know, like a role playing games map, you know, but it is really great. And you can, there's a whole series on the guards, and you can follow them. And I mean, I gobbled up all the guards books one night after the other. Wow. They're fantastic. The first Discworld novel I ever read was actually Thief of Time. And it's like right in the middle. You know, I didn't follow that whole path or anything. And I was like, I don't know what's going on, but I'm into this. And I really enjoyed that. Small Gods is also really good. Small Gods is one, if you're really into the whole philosophy of things, that one is a really good one to read, because it's less about the tongue-in-cheek humor and more about, like, making you think about kind of, again, the power of belief, and how if somebody believes something, then for them it is really true.
Yeah. Discworld's like flat earth. It's like a flat earther. People are into the flat earth.
It totally is, yeah.
You believe it hard enough.
Yeah, like Discworld is a flat earth. And in fact, the part of the plot of Small Gods is that there's this like heretic sect that believes that the earth is round. It just turns that whole thing on its ear.
Well, I love it. I've been meaning to for years. It's time to do it. I think it's finally time to maybe pick those up. And I'll start with, like, you, if you're suggesting three, I'll begin there and go from there. Right? That's how I should do it.
Yeah. I mean, that was what Terry Pratchett suggested. Now, I think, you know, you can pretty much pick up any of these books from wherever, and he does a pretty good job of introducing you to everything. Mm-hmm. So you can't really go wrong. But if you want to start, Terry Pratchett suggested starting with the book Sorcery. Mm-hmm. But that one, again, that's got Rincewind, and it's kind of I don't like Rincewind as a character.
Oh, interesting.
I love the Watch novels. Scott, I think you will really like the Guards novels, like the Watch novels. So if you want to start with that, you could start with Guards.
And they are kind of standalone. I don't have to know about self-contained.
They are all like self-contained stories. I mean, the character development continues throughout the novels, but you know, you certainly don't have to, you know, it's not where, you know, they don't leave you on a cliffhanger. He wraps everything up.
Oh, good. Well, I can't be having no cliffhangers anymore in my life. So I'm down. well, great. That's awesome. Anything else you want to mention today?
So if you want to, you know, you got a few more days. I can probably, if anybody wants to order some peepers, from peeperspuppets.com.
All right.
I have a few more days where I can actually probably get them to you if you
perfect
order.
Stocking stuffer.
Yeah, that's very
they
good.
Are a perfect stocking stuffer. Little handheld puppets. We'll see.
You know what else is good? Amy's a good follow on TikTok. So if you're on TikTok, go search for Red Fraggle. I think it's just Red Fraggle 3 again on TikTok.
Right? Yeah, I think I'm Red Fraggle 3 on TikTok, and I'm actually about to start a new series on TikTok where a puppet and I do a reading of a hashtag that I created years ago called Chuck Says Weird Stuff.
Oh, very nice.
Because my husband is really good at saying things that sound really strange out of context. Yeah. And so I just type them up and put them on Twitter. And then I go back years later, and they're really funny because I don't remember the context.
That's great.
That sounds
so
all right.
I'm gonna start a TikTok series called Chuck Says Weird Stuff, where a puppet and I sit there and read his old Chuck Says Weird Stuffs.
I love it.
That's great.
That's very cool. Well, all right then. We're really glad to be doing this with you. It's fun. I like books.
Thanks for having me. I'm between now and next week, we'll see if I can get my audio straightened out.
Yeah, we'll figure all that out. I probably should have anyway. I just didn't think about it. I was too excited about having you on, and then we just skipped over the tech.
The whole technical process. Yeah. No making kidding. Sure it'll work, yeah.
But anyway, it's been great having you on. Next week, we'll do it again. It'll be Thursday this time, everybody. And if any of you out there have books you want to throw at us, or recommendations that we can throw past Amy before we do shows and that sort of thing, let us know. themorningstream@gmail.com. Amy, have a fantastic weekend.
Thanks, you too.
Bye.
See you, Amy.
All right, that's cool. I like it. I'm into books.
Good segment. I like it.
Yep. I got book. All my favorite things get talked about on the show. Books, comic books, movies, TV. What else can I... video games. What else do I need?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And Thursday's quickly turning into highbrow, right? Like, it's books and therapy.
Yeah, very highbrow.
As opposed to comic books and making shit.
Yep. Think of Amy as the waiting room where you're reading some awesome book, and then you go, and then they say, Wendy's ready for you, and then you get up and you go and get your therapy.
And then at the end, we say, I'm sorry, our time is up.
Oh, but I'll bill you $300 for that hour. All right.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to play a mashup. How about that?
Yes, sounds good.
How about that? We're going to finish things out today with a rad mashup from our friends, TMS Mashups, Jamie Brand, who made this thing, and it's called Undocking Your Elk. This is a BII, which stands for...
Hold on, Brian Ibben Impersonation.
Oh, there we go. Oh, good. Brian, you excited? This is you, man.
I am excited. Well, I'm excited and nervous, because sometimes I hear those and think... who the hell is that supposed to be?
Yeah, no kidding, right? Yeah. But here it is now.
And I imagine the listeners really think that.
Some of them, but most of them are wrong. So here's you doing a bunch of those. Enjoy.
It's Brownbeard, here to board my ship and That's take right. my booty.
Step aside, I've come for your booty.
How are you doing there today? My name is Colin Bryan.
You should put an O in the middle. Today? Colin O'Brien. The O stands for orgasm. No, I don't know what it would be.
The big O.
The big yes. O. The big O'Brien.
Yeah. Yeah, you're coming in.
Yeah, you got. It's not at the courthouse, though. It's over here.
We need yous to be at the courthouse at 9 o'clock.
You better bring a piece.
But. I don't know if he was pretending to be a badass or something.
I couldn't tell. It's pretty badass.
It was a badass little pistol he had there.
We were all impressed by it. Until he shot himself.
There was no safety button.
Hey, Marge, guess how many boobs I saw today? 13.
My player's card, I can't get it out. Let me pull harder. No!
Oh, no.
Oh, look at your wieners growing under the bubbly water.
I can't believe that Hugh Hefner would pay to be put next to Marilyn Monroe. What a dick.
I was starting to chafe, so I had to get Alfred to come pick me up.
Yep, that red squirrel come behind and run on the framework and run all the way up to the front.
You damn squirrels always ride runners, you don't.
Speaking of Mike Judge. Yeah.
Well, let's come up with some Kiss-branded flash drives.
Oh, this is a great idea, Gene. Let's get on this. Why haven't we done this before? What is a flash drive, anyway? What is it? I'm Paul Stanley.
You were so busy wondering if you could. You didn't even stop to think if you should.
Yeah. You are going to have really hairy deer on this dinosaur tour.
That Ariel.
Yeah, she had seashells.
But only when she's got legs. Yeah. Not when she's half fish.
Yeah, I don't like half fish, but she got seashells on her boobies. Yeah. Yeah, why is
Except
it?
She doesn't know what a fork is.
Ooh, good pull. I forgot about that bit with the fork.
Satan protected me from catching COVID.
Why are they cutting his antlers and not the thing? What? It would have fitted off?
It wouldn't
off?
Have fitted off, says Claire Gack.
What does that mean? English, please. Look.
It wouldn't have fitted off. Undunk your elk,
says Steven Seagal.
Oh, great as usual. That was awesome. Nicely
oh, my God.
Done. Oh, half.
Some of those just kind of generic, makes me feel better, right? When they're not supposed to sound like a certain person. I mean, my, as J.K. Grammer, my Jeff Goldblum always devolves into Jimmy Stewart. I need to need to figure out the secret sauce that separates the two, because they are very similar.
Maybe you start out as Jimmy Stewart and it evolves into Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, look at you. Like, like, turn it around the other way.
That's right. Life lesson. Life lesson learned, everyone, right now.
That's right.
Well, we've done a show and you've all been here. Thank you for being here. Sorry about the weird up and off things this week. We had the COVID test. It's all me. Brian's fine. Brian did nothing.
Yeah, I had my butt examined last week, and that was, we missed a show for that, but that's it.
Yeah, mine was just it's always morning. I know most people do morning things. I know that's how appointments work. I get it.
Yeah.
And we're weird because we do this thing and whatever, but most people take their lunch break or whatever, but not us. We make a show in the morning. Anyway, we're glad to have done it. Don't forget, normally this PM edition of the show is only available for patrons on Fridays. So if you want to be a part of that, you got to go to patreon.com/TMS. Think of this as a free little taster today.
Ooh, little taster. Sample. Yeah. Sample. Free sample.
You want free sample? You want free sample? How long's that chicken been on that plate? No free sample? Okay. Anyway, if you want part of that, you got to go to patreon.com/TMS. There's no other way to do it. Frogpants.com/TMS for everything else. Brian, grand tradition says we need to go now and you have to play a song. What is it?
We do. One quick thing before we go, in about half an hour, because it's always after TMS PM, I've got Guess the Connection, big prize, couple of Funko Pops, still mint in box, I'm going to be giving away today, because this one's a challenge. This one is going to be very difficult. So if somebody gets this, they're going to be earning a really good prize. So that'll be in about half an hour at twitch.tv/Coverville. Forgot where my channel was. twitch.tv/Coverville.
That happens. It's all good.
Okay, now let's get to this. Yeah. Daryl in Ohio wrote in, said, "Hello, Scort and Byron.
Ew.
December 3rd marked my 10-year anniversary with my wonderful, beautiful wife. I hope the tadpole will help us celebrate with many more years to come and enjoy this amazingly raucous cover of the Magnetic Field song 100,000 Fireflies, performed by the masters of using guitar feedback as a note, Superchunk. Requesting this song for a Monday show because Dunaway, Bill, and Steven are my favorite." Oh, sorry. Mm. Major spoilers for President 2024, #.
Wow.
Okay, Daryl in Ohio. Well, guess what? I didn't. I'm playing it today, and I hope you like that.
Yeah.
So congratulations on your anniversary, on your 10-year anniversary. I guess that is the Firefly anniversary. Here is 100,000 Fireflies, originally by Magnetic Fields. This is from Superchunk.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
What kind of a deal?
What kind of a deal?
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.